With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
No one intervened on behalf of...
And now, coming to you live from atop the Goldenrod City Radio Tower, it's the one, the only... Puckle TCG Cast!
Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to Puckle TCG Cast. I am your host, Lord Yashiro, and this is episode 57 of the TCG Cast. And we just came out of the heels of reviewing Celestial Storm, which was a bumpy ride. We had a little bit more lows than we had highs, but... still a decent set to have. Better than Evolutions, but that's really a low bar to cross. Now, we have a lot of things to talk about right now. We are, as we speak, in Victory Road on our way to the Grand Plateau to face the Elite Four in the World Championship happening this next weekend. So all of you that are listening to this on your way to Worlds, thank you for listening. And, good luck in all your matches. Now, I am not just going to be here talking to myself for about an hour. Nope. I got two fine gentlemen here with me. So first, some say he can single-handedly surround his opponents. It's Basket.
What's up, guys? And you want to know how I do that? I just give everybody a big hug.
Aww.
Like, come on, guys. Come on in. It's hugging time.
Yeah. And then you bear hug them to death, right?
Exactly. It's a trick.
It's a trick. Don't fall for it. And some say he's the only one that appears in all Star Wars movies. He was actually the Force. It's R. Sigma!
That? I like that, actually. We can get that one going.
Now, of course, for you guys at home, Puckle stands for Pokemon Underground Champions League. A nonsensical name our fearless leader, Thatch, host of the Puckle podcast, came up with, and we're just rolling with it. Now, before we get into all the technical stuff and all the meta talking and tournaments and all galore, how have you guys been? What have you guys been up to, Basket?
Well, recently, I actually got into, doesn't have anything to do with the TCG, but I finally got an EX raid pass. And, what's even better about that is that I actually caught the Mewtwo. So that was pretty cool.
I'm not jealous at all. Not at all. How did that happen? Did it just appear in your item?
Yeah. Okay. So here's the weird thing. Maybe I missed it, but I really don't think so. Cause I don't think they announce when you get one. That was the strangest thing. Like, I was just going through my items one day, and bam, there was a black raid pass, and I was like, what is this? And I, like, click it, and it's like, you've been selected to be part of this EX raid based on the gym that you raided last week or whatever. So this is the date. This is the time. Be there or be lame and don't get your Mewtwo. So I was like...
I'm not just checking my phone right now to see if I have one of those. I'm not doing that right now.
Well, that was like the weirdest thing. Like I expected some sort of announcement. You would think so. Maybe I'm wrong, but it was just there. And so then I was wondering, like, well, I go to that that gym all the time. So how many of these have I gotten and just never even seen? So I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. They're supposed to let you know by means of it's supposed to look like a news announcement. Like, you know, when you open up your app, for the first time of the day, it shoots you like a newsletter.
Oh, it's
supposed to shoot you but not everybody gets it. I know I had a friend that did give her the notification when she turned on the app.
Okay.
But I've heard cases where the announcement doesn't prompt. So it doesn't notify you, but that's a bug. It's not supposed to be like that. So it could be you had just a buggy ticket. It didn't notify you that you had it.
Okay, that makes me feel better, because I was worried. I was like, well, how many of these EX raids have I missed?
Yeah, no, they're supposed to let you know. What about you, Sigma? What have you been up to?
I've been opening Celestial Storm Packs online.
How has that gone?
I've opened 2 Stakatakas that I've traded for, like, 4 Celestial Storm Packs back, and that's keep opening bad. And opening.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, I mean, I've opened 2 of the 3 Prism Stars. So
nice.
Unfortunately, I didn't open the good one, but, you know.
There's winners and losers in life. And for speaking of losers, again, if you guys did not listen to our last set review, it's that for Celestial Storms. It was the past 2 episodes. I would definitely tell you to go back and give it a look, listen. Celestial Storm is an interesting set. Doesn't bring enough in the table that we would like. Now, let's go ahead and we got a few things to talk about. So let's go ahead and just start with the news. We'll be right back.
Live from the Goldenrod City Tower, it's time for Puckle News.
And we are back, and it's time to discuss the news in this episode, which it's one of those that Basket's grandma definitely wants you to skip. We're going to go ahead and move on to the news. First, it's here, people. 2019 season has been announced. A brand new year means a brand new set of challenges, opponents, and weird cards to play. Is everyone excited for this new spring that we're going to have in the TCG? Now, of course, after Worlds, when the current format, the current season ends, that means that in September, starting in September 14 till the 16, it's the first standard tournament for the 2019 season. It's going to be held in Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks, Philadelphia, followed by Memphis Cook Convention Center in Memphis, Tennessee, that's in October 5th to the 7th, and Oregon Convention Center in Portland, Oregon, from October 26th to the 28th. That last one that I just mentioned is an expanded tournament. Now, we already discussed the rotation and everything that we're losing, big things like Garbodor, Sycamore, and we're losing a lot of things, Floatstones. So, what are your guys' expectations for these few couple of months in the season, new season of the TCG? Let's start with you, Sigma. What do you think?
I'm hoping it slows down a bit. Right now, Rayquazas are fast. But
Yes.
But losing Max Elixir and things like that, I think the format can slow down just a little bit.
And I think that's the expectation, and I hope that's where we're headed. Now, if they keep dropping these all-powerful GX, basic GX, it's going to be a little bit difficult. But what about you, Basket? Any expectations?
I don't know. Like, it seems to me, maybe not last year, maybe I'm not remembering correctly, but it seems to me whenever they do make a giant shift, even if things slow down, it ends up being that there's just this huge rush to try and find the best card that can't deal with anything. That can get through everything that's been thrown away. And then there's this weird lull of like creativity almost, like that actually makes top cuts, because it takes a while for people to adjust to the format. And I feel like the first couple regionals in the format, you're going to see someone just like rake everybody else over the coals with some deck that they've like put together. And then the next time it's going to be everybody's playing that deck. And then after that, almost the same thing. And then slowly the meta is going to like more stabilize with these changes. And I think that's natural. I think, you know, obviously a more rocky meta where you have one that stands out, everybody's like, well, I can't take the time. You know, I have a job. I have all these other things. I can't take the time to, you know, actually figure out something new. But then there's always those people that are like way cooler than me that completely and utterly are that way. And we'll find those things. They'll be like, I don't want to play this.
No, that's sweet. Yeah, the creativity around all the player community that we have, it's pretty incredible. And it's always such a refresher stage whenever a new season starts, because it's like going to work, right? You work, you're a clerk, you work at your office, you have your computer, and you're going to work, and they're like, well, now you're going to go to work, but you can't use your keyboard. And you're like, wait, how can I not use my keyboard now? It's like, you won't be able to use your keyboard, do your work without the keyboard. That's what it feels like when you're coming into a new season and you suddenly realize, I don't have Sycamore or N anymore. And I used to depend on these cards. It happened a few years ago when we lost Via Seeker. We never saw a life after Via Seeker. We just realized that there is a life after Via Seeker. And it's always... is that really great spark of imagination and creativity that will refresh once again the format for everyone. So it is exciting times, guys, but let us not look too much into the horizon, because we still have worlds to discuss. But since we're on the topic of Horizon, Sigma, something about Thunder?
Yeah, our big fall set is Lost Thunder, which is going to have over 210 cards in it. Which we... Whoa. Yeah, it's a lot. It's the most cards any set's ever had. But
210 cards. That's... How many GXs? How many? What are we talking about here?
We are talking 13 GXs, 7 Prism Stars, 4 Ultra Beasts, and more than 20 Trainer cards.
Wow.
Yeah, it's three sets of the Japanese set. Oh, wow. Of the Japanese packs combined into one. So,
and these basically are going to be featuring Pokemon like the Virizion GX, Macargo GX. We're going to get the new Seraora GX as well as Genesect GX. So lots of cool Pokemon are going to come in this set. Not to mention that we're going to have our first Alolan Ninetales that is not... a nice type. At least GX-wise, because I know there's a little Ninetales, right? That's furry already.
Yeah.
It's
even got less HP than the last one, just to make us a little happier.
Yes, it's a little bit less frustrating.
Still weak to metal, though.
Still weak to metal. You can't avoid that.
Is that Tyranitar GX? Is that going to be a fighting type?
I have no clue. We haven't seen that yet.
We don't know yet. Yeah, there's a few of them. We still don't know what types they're going to be. Same with that Lugia. Do you think Lugia will be psychic, or is it going to be...
Nope, we've seen it. It's colorless.
Colorless? Okay, no, we don't need a psychic one. Why? Let's just keep on throwing those colorless.
It may have the attack psychic on it, if that makes you feel better.
It doesn't.
I feel like...
It's weaker than that.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I kept starting to talk over. I'm sorry.
No,
I just feel like whenever there's a I know that one of you is probably going to pull out a card that's going to throw this theory under the bus, but I feel like whenever they have a dark type Pokemon, even if it's dual type, they always go with the dark, except for probably Shifri. But the problem with that is that
Shifri will be psychic because it's ghost.
What? Shiftry? No, Shiftry is grass and dark.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, yes, I'm confused. I'm the one confused. In my mind, I was painting Trevenant. Sorry.
Mm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. I just think that fighting's, it's a much better type, because I can't think of very many. I honestly, right now, I can't think of one Pokemon that I've ever seen get play that was weak to dark type, because all the psychics are usually weak to psychic, right?
Yeah, it's a ghost. Yeah, usually it's a ghost weak to dark. But... Yep, things like Gengar or Mismatches or anything ghost type related. There.
Okay. Okay. So like I said, no card that's ever made it into the meta has ever. I love Gengar. I hope there's a meta changing Gengar card. That would be amazing. Yeah. Like, obviously not in this set, but in ones to come, that would be super cool. But yeah, I've never seen a dark type that's come in and ever like, or sorry, I've never seen a card come in that was weak to dark.
That's made quite a right. Giratina, yeah. made some splash a couple of years ago. That was Weak to Dark.
Oh, really?
If I'm not mistaken. Oh. I believe it was Weak to Dark. Sigma might correct me.
That was the one that just shut off the break abilities, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But anyways, so what I was trying to get at, I guess, is if Tyranitar comes out as a dark type, unless it has a sweet attack, it's not going to see any play. But if it comes out, if it comes out as a fighting type, then it's, or, you know, technically ground or whatever. But if it comes out as a fighting type, then it might see a lot more play, just because fighting types are, you know, there's plenty of weaknesses that other Pokemon cards have to fighting. So that would be interesting, and I would like that a lot more. Over and done with my Tyranitar GX rant.
Yeah, and electrics are seeing a raise right now. They are getting a little bit more powerful, so hopefully although they don't have much room to get powerful right now, thanks to Buzzwold. But let's see after the rotation, once fighting loses much of its support, let's see how Buzzwold fares and how can electric lightning Pokemon can take a little bit of their pie from this format. Now, we're going to move on from things that are lost to things that are outright banned. We had an announcement that we are going to have a few cards banned, and I can't think of anyone else better to throw the ban hammer than my boy Basket. Take it away.
All right, so all the bans come in expanded format. So anybody who doesn't play expanded can skip this part. No, I'm just kidding. Please listen to me. Okay, so expanded format. So Gestus, the black and white plasma freeze card, is banned in the expanded format.
This, of course, is the one that is your opponent reveals his or her hand and shuffles all item cards found there into his or her deck. Then draw a number of cards equal to the number of item cards your opponent shuffled into his or her hand. So that's the Gestus card.
And then we have Hexmaniac from Ancient Origins.
Oh, this is interesting.
Yeah, this is the one that until the end of your turn or your opponent's next turn, each Pokemon in play in each player's hand and in each player's discard pile has no abilities, and that includes cards that come into play on that turn. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was basically a ability lock. Next card is Puzzle of Time from Breakpoint. It's now banned in the expanded format. You can play two Puzzle of Time cards at once. If you play one card, look at the top three cards of your deck and put them back in any order. If you play two cards, put two cards from your discard pile back into your hand.
Interesting. The Puzzle of Time is a card that, when it came out, not many people played it. And as time progressed and searching your deck for cards that you needed, specifically when Talonflame was revealed, that's when that card really started to shine.
Really quickly, can I read the... the Pokemon card company's reason for getting rid of it?
Yeah, please.
Because I think it's kind of funny. So it says, Puzzle of Time is a flexible card that can be used in a wide variety of strategies. Its usage rate is quite high in popular decks, and it enables a lot of powerful combos. Removing this card from the environment will affect how many decks are constructed, which will hopefully make the expanded format feel fresh and different. So to me, it was just hilarious to see that, because in the other ones, the descriptions for why they have them are all so good. They completely identify the reason why the cards are leaving. And in this one, it's just like, well, this is a great card. It's used in a lot of decks, and we're going to remove it so we can just kind of see what shakes up. And I don't know, like, hopefully they had a better reason than that, but I don't know. I thought it was kind of funny. Like, it is a good card, and I don't know. It wasn't bad. Like, it wasn't ruining anybody's time, you know? So I don't know. It was just
pun intended. So, yeah. So no, I agree. It's pretty funny to have Puzzle of Time taken out and not having a really precise explanation as to why that this is. Now, of course, Getsis and Hexmaniac are pretty much, it's understandable, right? These are cards designed to completely ruin your opponent's day in terms of either eliminating all the item cards that he had as on his hand that he was basically waiting to use for his own setup, or Hexmaniac blocking all abilities throughout your opponent's next turn so you can preemptively block whatever you need to. And one that we didn't mention was Wally, who's also getting banned. And that, of course, is because Wally in combination with Trevenant, which is the Pokemon I was confusing Shiftry with, with Trevenant enables a turn one block of item cards that really does put a hamper on any type of game. It really is a bad day for whoever is playing against Trevenant in that case. And these are all very good explanations to why we're not going to have these cards anymore. I know many out there are pretty angry at this. The rage is off the charts. Many of you loved Puzzle of Time and do not think that things like Hexmania, in fact, I was one of those that I was waiting for Hexmania to come back to standard and not just be in the expanded universe. But it is what it is. I believe what this tells me, in all honesty, is that Pokemon TCG is really paying attention to the meta. It is really doing, because banning cards getting banned was something that usually never happened. The first big ban that we had was Lysander's Trump card, and it was because it was basically destroying the game. So it was pretty extreme by the time they got to ban it. And before that, really only a few things were banned, and mostly were erratas, which is TCG lingo for corrections in cards, because maybe there was a typo or something and made the card a little bit more powerful than it was originally done. But it really is a pleasant surprise, at least for me, to see them paying attention and eliminating these cards that could actually hamper and just stop the flow of the game and expand it. So to me, it's a welcome addition or subtraction in this case.
I think it's notable to point out too. I think that Lysander's Trump card was the only card that they ever banned while it was in the standard format. Is that correct?
I think, like, so. I'm not too sure. Was over
it in the standard, or was it in expanded when it was banned?
Over 4 years now, I believe. So
banned before expanded was even a format.
Yeah, well, expanded was still was definitely a format, but it hadn't reached expanded. No, Lysander's Trump card, I remember, was banned like a month after. What was the set where Rayquaza EX and Mega Rayquaza came out?
No, it was banned really quick, wasn't it?
Hmm?
Like, it was almost quick.
No, it was banned. Wasn't it banned before Megas even came out in the TCG?
No. It was banned.
I feel like it was banned around Primal Clash, maybe.
Yes, thank you. Primal Clash around that downtime was when it was banned.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, the beginning of the XY. Because
it came out in Phantom Forces, I think.
Yes.
The same set that gave us Night March. And it's like, oh, don't worry, Night March isn't going to be that scary because we have Lysander's Trump card. Just shuffle all those Pokemon back into the deck.
Exactly.
And yeah, it turns out it broke tournaments and made them run way too long into infinite draws. So
With Seismitoad EX and Hypnotoxic Laser, it just created so much havoc that it just needed to stop.
But yeah, I want to say this, like, over doubled the ban list that Expanded had before.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I think, like, unless you're a really, like, angry person by nature, I think that was the one card that got, like, anybody to just, like, rage quit. You know? Yeah. Like, I don't want to play this. I know how this is going to turn out. It's just going to take forever. And I don't want to see my beautiful Pokemon cards be destroyed this way.
Yeah, no, basically you couldn't even play because your opponent's first turn would last a lifetime. They just kept drawing and drawing, using shaming to keep drawing upon more cards and searching for more shamings, putting them down, keep drawing, keep playing, using all the item cards, Hypnotoxic Laser over here, Switch over there, whatever, this item card, and then once they've already run through the first half of the deck in their first turn, they would Lysander's Trump card everything back, start again the next turn. It was just ridiculous. It was absurd. Games lasted more than 45 allotted minutes in each tournament. That's really the main reason. The reason it was banned, it was because time restraints, because the card would allow games to keep going and eliminate it. A win objective, right? You can no longer deck out with your Lysander's Trump card because via Seeker, you could just replay it all over again from the discard pile, right? It was just, it was out of control. It would definitely is. But this is not License to the Trump Cards episode. But these were the most recent banned cards. We have going to have to move on to Topical Beach, where we're going to discuss the last big event that we had, plus World's Championship is heading on the way. We're going to talk about all things we expect to see at World. So grab your sunglasses and your flip-flops, because we're headed to Topical Beach.
Grab your ice-cold Corsola Cola and pull up a chair. It's time for Tropical Beach.
Feel the wind in your face, the sun under your feet, and the sun in your eyes. It's Topical Beach, and here to discuss all things Pokemon TCG, we're going to start with a small little tournament called the ARG Invitational. This is the Alternative Reality Games Tournament. They have the little own circuit, and they featured a tournament on August 11th to 12th. And the reason why we want to talk about this particular tournament is because it's the first tournament with Celestial Storm included, which we had a slight little, how you call it? What's the word I'm looking for?
Change-up.
Party crasher, as they say, in the meta, and that is Rayquaza GX. Many expect Rayquaza to make a fuss in Worlds. Let's see if that's the case. Now, we always run through the top eight. I don't want to do it this time around just because, this was a much smaller tournament than, there were 114 masters. Don't get me wrong. It's huge. But I wanted to focus on the decks this time around. So.
Yeah, and Rayquaza didn't make the top eight.
Correct. But it was there. And it's something
and it placed pretty high, so.
Yeah, it was on the type 16 for sure. But we did have more of the, you know, the same contenders. We got Sodorok. We got Buswold with Lycanroc. We got a few things surprises, a Gardevoir GX. But overall, it was an interesting match. Sigma, do you have a few things to say?
Yeah, this is kind of what I would have expected a tournament right after Celestial Storm came out to look like. Mm-hmm. Like, you got a bunch of Zoroarks because Zoroark got a massive boost with Magcargo.
Yeah.
And it was always already a strong deck, so a strong deck getting stronger is probably going to see play. Then you still have Buzzwolves around because Zoroark's around. Like, Rayquaza was probably the strongest card coming out of Celestial Storm, so it's not surprising to see a deck centered around that.
Yeah.
And because of Rayquaza's deck, it's not surprising to see, like, a Gardevoir to be countering all the Rayquazas that it expected to see.
Yeah, I was just, when I first looked at it, that's what I saw. Like, Gardevoir hit number 5, and the highest Rayquaza was at 11. So I was like, oh, this guy saw it coming and was like, Gardevoir. Which is already a decent deck. It's just that it's hard to run as strongly in the format as Zoroark and Buzzwole.
I mean, when your Rayquaza has 3 energies attached to it to attack, and your Gardevoir just needs 1 energy to KO it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Pretty good. Yep. And then,
So let's go ahead and you going to continue on, Sigma? Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I was going to say. I'm a little surprised to see Naganadel. I hear whispers of it with Stakataka. It can be scary, I guess.
And what's the basis on that, this deck?
You're using your Naganadel GXs to attack, while you have your Stakatakas in the back to protect it. Though, I believe you're mostly running Metal Energy anyway, so that your Stakataka can attack as well. Because, turns out your Naganadel only attacks with Colorless, I believe?
Yeah.
So, your Naganadel should be able to 2-hit KO most things in the format, and it can take quite a punch with Stakataka support.
Interesting. Now, since we're talking a lot about Rayquaza, let's dive deep into what Rayquaza GX is. In this case, we're going to talk about specifically about Rayquaza Garbodor, which is the combination that's been seen more play. Now, this, of course, is starring the Rayquaza from Celestial Storms. To remind you guys at home, this is the Rayquaza that's Dragon, basic, with 180 HP. It has a ability and 2 attacks. Its ability, Stormy Winds. When you play this Pokemon from your hand onto your bench, during your turn, you may discard the top 3 cards of your deck. If you do, attach a basic energy card from your discard pile to this Pokemon. Now, that basic energy does not have to be one of the ones discarded. this way. And then its attack, which is the main focus, is Dragon Break for one grass, one lightning, and one colorless. It does 30 times the amount of basic grass and basic lightning energies attached to your Pokemon. So it's fast. It can self set up a bit. It's an interesting card. What do we pair this with? Well, the type of wine that this Rayquaza like is those that are included with Latias Prism Star. This is, of course, Latias from the same set, which allows you to put energies from your discard pile onto your bench to any basic dragon types. Then you got the Furimosa GX, which is the fast-paced Furimosa that can attack by just having a maximum of two grass energies attached to it, mainly there to kick anything small enough over the edge. We got some Trubbish, some Garbodor, and of course the mandatory Tapu Lele. This is not the set that was playing in that tournament, but this is basically what is going around on the internet. Now, Sigma, how is this deck so fast that people are so worried about it right now?
Well, the ones I played online, I think the worst setup I saw was turn one, they got two Rayquazas with four energy among both of them.
Wow.
So, yeah, it once it gets to six energy, then it's attacking for 180.
Yeah.
And that's KOing most of the meta.
Wow.
If you get one more energy than that, then you're hitting 210, which is KOing your Zoroarks.
Yeah, and remind you guys, the energies don't have to be on this on the Rayquaza that it's attacking. It could be on any Rayquaza. So, as long as Correct. You're setting up and bumping up your bench.
Sorry. I was going to say, it doesn't even have to be on a Rayquaza. It just has to be on another card.
Yeah. And it just powers it up to great, great. Now, it did not make top 8. It did make a lot of top 16. But it's something to look out for. Now, the big elephant or muscle mosquito in the room is Buzzwole. It's one deck that since its introduction, has been just causing mayhem and havoc no matter where it goes. And I was looking at the graphs for the entire season, and Buzzwole, since its introduction, it's been pretty wild how just there it has been. Its progression has gone, since it was revealed on September, around September, right? It's just gone up nonstop. It's in every single tournament. It's been so, so prevalent that even out of all the top eights, right, the whole season, this thing did 20%, 21% of all top eights. It was just present. In a sample placement of 200 tournaments, this was just there all the time. It was pretty incredible how much this game. It single-handedly won in that sample placement of 200. It won 22,560 points by itself. This is the Buzzwole Lycanroc version. I'm not even counting on any other Buzzwole version, just that one. It's been such a ridiculously powerful deck.
Well, so did it do better than Zoroark? Because Zoroark came out before Buzzwole. So did it even top higher than that?
It did do better than Zoroark, actually. And both Zoroark Galissapod GX and Zoroark Lycanroc GX were pretty prevalent. We had a 14% on the Zoroark Galissapods and a 8% on the Zoroark GX Lycanroc GX deck. So it really did a big, big splash on the meta as well. So these are the decks that we are looking at, right? We have Rayquaza GX, we have Zoroark, and we have Buzzwole. We didn't see much of Ultra Necrozma Malamar in the past tournament. I don't know if that's is indicating something. Maybe we won't be able to see. We won't see this card as much as we expected it to do. It is a decent deck. How good it still remains to be seen, really. Go ahead, Sigma.
Because I usually play around with that one.
Yeah.
The fact that the hate that hits Rayquaza also hits your Ultra Necrozmas hurts a lot. And your other attacker in that deck is Dawnwing's Necrozma, which goes down to Zoroark GX with no problem.
Yeah. So
it's kind of in a rough position, and it's just a little bit too slow to keep up with the Rayquaza decks, which is unfortunate. but that's kind of that.
Yeah, I mean, like, we talked about, was it this episode or did you guys talk about it last episode? I mean, at our TCG tournament during PuckleCon, our winner had Ultra Necrozma, and it was a beast box, and that thing was really awesome to see. And I don't know if it was the – it was probably the player behind it playing a bunch of other players that knew what they were doing but just had never seen it before, why it took the tournament. But I'm surprised that that's not working – that I didn't see it on any like top 16 list or anything like that, just because of how well Seth Vilo played it. But that could have been him and not the cards.
No, it is a decent, like I was saying, Sigma. I mean, alternate cross my Malamar, it is a good deck. It might be just as Sigma was explaining. It's just right now, it's the how you say it, it's the luck is not in its favor. It has a lot of things that could knock him out or just, it being so slow, because right now we're in a really fast-paced meta where we have Rayquaza GX powering up in turn two, turn three, already hitting for so much. You got Buzzwole, which only requires one energy to be able to start hitting hard, not only to the active, but also the bench. So you're doing multiple damage as you go. These are just so... And then not to mention Sodor GX, which is all about finding the cards that you want in your deck and having them as fast as possible in your hand. The speed in which we're running in this meta might not leave enough space for a little bit slower decks like Ultra Necrozma, anything related with Greninja or other decks like that be able to spark as they should.
So yeah, I'm hoping it'll come back after rotation.
I was actually just going to ask that. So then do you guys think that, you know, not to derail this current topic, but do you guys think that post-rotation it's going to come in force?
Yeah.
Not in force, but
we are getting slower after the rotation. We're losing a lot of cards that, you know, help with the whole moving faster. We're losing N. We're losing Sycamore. We're staying with only Cynthia as a real big hand refresher and drawer. We're losing many cards that will slow down a little bit the meta, but we won't know until it happens. Like I always say, people like to speculate what's going to be good after a rotation. We won't know until that first month after Worlds where people are playing and we can start seeing those top 10. And like when Gator, top eights, and then when like Gator mentioned, even the first month of top eights, the first 2 months are not really going to be that good, or reliable more like, because we're going to have a lot of people testing new things. It's a brand new meta. It's like Doctor Who with the Doctor Regenerated. He's just trying the new body. The same thing is going to be with this new meta. The first few months are going to be really crazy top eights. And then suddenly come new year, we will start seeing more of a,
standardization.
Yeah. Standardization and a clear road as to where we're headed in the meta.
Yeah, we also have like a new set coming out right at the beginning of next month that won't be legal until the end of the month. So we'll see if that helps anything too.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yep.
Now, with that being said, these are the three major protagonists for Worlds right now. This is where we start speculating what we're going to see. What do we expect from Worlds? Do we expect to see Buzzwole taking the reins, although the championship I want to leave for the end. But what do you see the top eight being like? Let's start with you, Sigma. And I'm picking on you a lot because you're just so knowledgeable in this and I'd like to pick your brain. What do you see the top eight looking at in Worlds?
I wouldn't be surprised if we were to see two or three different Zoroark GX variants within the top eight.
Really?
Just because it's that strong of a card that can go in with multiple partners and work still. Like, okay. Even at this ARG tournament, there were two different styles in the top eight. And then another one down in the top 16 somewhere. So.
Okay, even with Buzzwole looming around, you still feel like Zoroark is going to be a real big presence.
I mean,
the Worlds.
It still won over during the North American Championships, and Buzzwole were everywhere there, too.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. That's to say, what about you, Basket?
So for me, I don't really see much of an upset. I see, as far as I'm concerned, it's a coin flip on whether a Zoroark variant beats a Buzzwall variant or what. But I see, obviously, one of those two winning. The reason why I'm not so worried about Naginadel, Stakataka, or the new Rayquaza is because, or Gardevoir, is that I'm not, I don't know, I don't think people are going to bring enough of those. And just like in any TCG, there's an amount of luck. And if Gardevoir and Rayquaza don't show up in force, then I don't see them making the top four, you know, like the final bracket. But if everybody starts, like, do we have any other standings that'll come out before Worlds?
No, because Worlds is
no. Okay, well then that's really interesting, because then I honestly don't know, because people are going to look and see that Rayquaza has had like a good standing, and there's all those people that love Rayquaza and used to play it all the time when it was the
X version, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And it's just a super popular Pokemon, so I can see people bringing that out in force and someone wanting to shake up the meta having a Gardevoir GX, but I don't see those beating Zoroark and Buzzwole. I know they're fast. I know they can do this, but Zoroark has so much versatility
and consistency.
And like, so, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it can always get what it wants now.
So. Exactly. Yeah, and so it's got that going for it. I mean, it's just honestly, no bias whatsoever, because honestly, this deck kind of annoys me because it's so good. And I always have this this thing where I don't want to play the best deck. I want to have like a one of the more underdogs. Like if I was going to this, I would probably do Naginadel and Stakataka just because it's a decent deck. I know I could do well with it, and I would want to be an upset. I wouldn't want to have, you know, like the main two decks. You know what I mean? So it's only from that sort of bias, but honestly, it is, in my mind, it is the best deck out there because of its versatility.
Yep.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons why Zoroark, which is weak to fighting, is still constantly overtaking Buzzwole in the actual final slot, the winner of these tournaments. And I would say in more cases than not. So I don't see Gardevoir or Rayquaza or Naginadel doing any sort of upset with Zoroark. It would be Buzzwole. So I guess and the only reason why I'm saying Zoroark instead of Zoroark Control or Garbodor or Macargo is because Zoroark itself is a deck, and then you tech these things in there. Like they're making them different because the decks do play different. That's why they're naming them differently. But at the same time, it's all Zoroark. Like he's the reason this is happening, or she, you know,
whichever. It comes in any flavor you want. And you're 100% right. I mean, Zoroark is consistency in its best form. You are sure to get what you need when you need it. Much more now with Macargo in the meta. That's one Celestial Storm edition that Zoroark greatly has greatly benefited from. And I'm with you guys. I am between Buzzwole and Zoroark. My money goes to Zoroark as well. Again, consistency is king when it comes to the TCG. The more consistent you can make your deck, the more consistent you can win. Because you are making sure like half the deck is, or half the game is luck in, you know, in quotation marks, because there are ways of manipulating that luck, of trying to get the cards that you need and not depend on the beautiful sadness that is shuffling. And Zoroark is a way to get that happening as ASAP. So Yeah, I mean, for me, Solrak's winning the thing. The other deck that I see that could take an upset just because it counters Solrak quite well is anything Buzzwold related. Either be Buzzwold GX or with the baby Buzzwold. Something that could definitely come and just blind us and take the championship. Anything, and I know this is a very specific question that probably only Sigma could answer if he could, and I don't expect him to. Anything, any surprises from Japan that we're expecting here?
I don't think we're going to see like any Autonos this year.
Yeah. Unfortunately. No Autonos, no Chansey decks from a card that we didn't even know it existed coming down from Japan and winning championship.
I mean maybe we'll see a Wailord Stall, but like that's
that
one
thing. Insane and not any fun to watch. But I do super love the idea of that happening again. Like that was my favorite Worlds. Like when I look back at it now, it had the exact situation in a normal you know occurrence of watching two people play the TCG. Just a total beatdown is never fun to watch ever, unless it's coming out of nowhere. Yeah. With this card that you don't even know how it works. So you're learning how the deck plays as this guy is playing it, and it's coming out of nowhere, and you're just like, what?
They didn't even have the art ready.
I know. It was
for the stream. They were like, oh, that's Mega Audino. We have no idea what it does, and we don't have a picture of it either. Give us a second while we get all this ready. It was madness, and it was great.
That's that's how incredible that was. And honestly, like, I feel like that's, you know, that's a once-in-a-lifetime deal. or maybe it's sooner than that, you know, like maybe a Halley's Comet kind of thing, you know, comes around every, how many, what, 10, 15, 20, I don't know.
Yeah, that was just... pure but
that would be awesome. But honestly, how I said that I don't really like the top cards the top decks in any given format. Honestly, I was thinking about it, and I'd have a really hard time if it was a Buzzwole and a Zoroark deck that were in that, you know, were the finals.
Yeah.
I would have a really hard time picking because I you know, I always usually go off this sort of like underdog thing, you know, because everybody likes to see the underdog win, unless that's like your deck that you've been playing and you're like, that's got to win because that means I was right. You know what I mean?
Which is, if it's one of our decks, then it is the underdog 100%.
Right. Well, you know what I mean? Like if you're playing, you know, that specific yeah. variant of whatever deck, you know, you want that to win. But I was having a really hard time because it's like, well, because I was originally thinking, well, if it's Buzzwole versus Zoroark, like Zoroark has won more tournaments, it would be cool to see Buzzwole win. But then I was thinking about it, and I was like, yeah, but Zoroark has the weakness to fighting. So in that, in like, you know, a single matchup that you're just watching, he would be the underdog. So, you know, who am I going to pick there? I can't. The only thing I'm hoping for is that it's not like a dual Zoroark.
Yeah, we must not forget that also these Zoroark likes to carry some Muse just in case to counter those Zoroark. So there's just the Buzzwole, yes. These two decks definitely gonna hit each other hard and they're gonna cup up top. Now, with that being said, that means that it's the end of the season right now. After this, we're gonna have our Worlds episode where we're going to discuss how it went, and hopefully we will also participate in watching the streams, guys. We are looking to see the stream it's this weekend. If you're listening, it's next weekend, sorry. So we are planning to see if we can have a chat open on Discord. I'm going to be there, many of our hosts are going to be there, and we're just going to be watching the stream, commentating, having fun. It's just going to be not going to be recorded. It's just going to be us having fun. So for those of you listening at home that have not joined our Discord, please go ahead and do that as soon as possible, because you're going to have a blast and it's all fun. We are going to just talk Pokemon and TCG come the Worlds. And this is going to be my last question before we move on to the next segment. And it's the end of the season. In a quick round, what's your favorite deck of the season, Sigma?
Oh, it going to end up being Necrozma, even though it's not great anymore.
Okay. Not
at this point, anyway. I don't expect to see it at Worlds.
Yeah. A basket.
This is not going to be a surprise to anybody. It's Galissapod GX.
Of course.
Yes. Of well, course. You know what? It's still viable. It's still a great deck. It's just that everything else is better. It's not a bad deck. It's not a bad deck. Everything else is just faster.
Yep. No, and it's not a bad deck. And hey, anyone knows that here, I'm the first one to say I'm not the fan of the best decks always. In fact, I try not to play them. That's why in my stream, I hardly play Sotorai. I hardly play Buzzwole because that's what everybody sees. And you didn't come to the stream just to watch the same thing you've been watching every time you play TCG. Now, my favorite deck of this season is one that hasn't made many rounds, but I just find it so much fun. And it's Metagross GX. Metagross is a whole lot of fun for me to play. I found myself on the streams and outside the streams coming back to it every time when I want to, like, play something fun. Metagross has been there, and it's really have been receiving a few things that are making it a little bit better every time. So don't be surprised if we see Metagross GX suddenly becoming a thing once again. Of course, don't quote me on that, because I am Yushiro and you shouldn't be quoting me. Now, with that, we're going to move on to the next segment, which is, we don't have any mail this time around, guys. So next time we're going to have those mails. In fact, the question of the day of the episode for you guys to send your mails there. We're going to do this because they really be constantly telling me to do this and I always forget. So they really be, this one's for you. Question, what is your deck that you think that's going to win Worlds? Send me your suggestions, your predictions, and see who gets to guess it right, I guess. Now, but we are going to move on to everyone's favorite Pokemon 15 questions, where I try to stump the Koho. Be right back.
Who's that Pokemon?
Surprise! We kind of lied when we said that we didn't have any emails. We do have one we definitely wanted to read, and this one has been long waiting for us to read it on air, but we had our set review episodes, and those episodes do not leave any space out for anything additional. So now that we're here, we're going to go and tackle this one email before we head out to Pokemon 15 questions. So let's start. It says, from our boy, Duck Mistuffles. Says, Lord J and the ever-wonderful Basket and Sigma. A lot of interesting cards are coming on the horizon on TCG. Maybe not meta-changing or truly viable whatsoever, but things that look just fun. I really just wish the rotation would come already so I can start building and seeing how this meta shifts. I hope it will be just a mass chaos at the beginning where each new week brings a new top deck that just counters the previous for months and months. But in all reality, it probably won't be that exciting. So when are we starting the Puckle pool to take bets on the World Championship winning deck? And that's what we just did. This is why I wanted to read this email, because it's so fitting. Yes, right now. We're going to start that pool right now. Send me your emails with your suggestions. I'll invent something. Whoever guesses it correctly, I'll announce it somehow in the next episode. No prizes. I don't have money for that right now. But at least a shout-out for sure.
Hold on. How about this? I will draw. It'll be a black and white. But I will draw a picture of the main Pokemon, whether it's Buzzwole, Zoroark, Rayquaza, whatever. Draw it, shade it in black and white, and then I will meet up with Yushiro. We will both sign it, and then we'll send it to you.
There we go. You can't ask for anything better than that. By the way, Basket is a comic book artist, so he can draw. He can draw. Awesome. That's great. That's awesome, Basket. Thank you. So there you go. Whoever guessed correctly will be able to get a awesome, nice drawing by Basket, signed by Basket and myself. Now, and if you guys are asking why just us two and we're leaving poor Sigma, it's because me and Basket actually live in the same city.
Yeah, we live. We can actually.
So it's easier for us to just sign it and send it. Okay, so continue on these Dogma stuffles here. Anyways, here's my variant of a Malamar deck. Of course, this is a very budget version, as that is all I do. Maybe someday I'll pull a Lille and send you guys a real deck. Nah, that doesn't sound like fun. No, McStuffles, it doesn't. Keep on what you're doing. Ahem, presenting the nauseating Necromikyu. These Mimikyus actually haven't stacked up too bad against these other low elo Malamar and Buzzwole decks. Just mirror what they do, hit for weakness, and win the trade, the price trade in the name of this game. Of course, this has one Sotowark and one Sotowark GX. It has 4 NKs, 3 Malamars, 4 Mimikyus, this is the ones from Guardians Rising, 2 Necrozma GX, we got Trainers, we got 4 Mystery Treasures, 3 Professor's Letters, 4 Ends, 4 Professor Sycamores, 2 Bridgets, 3 Cynthias, 2 Field Blowers, 3 Ghostmas, 1 Fighting Fury Belt, 3 Altar of the Moon, 1 Max Potion, 2 Choice Band, and 2 Ultra Balls. That's a lot of trainer cards, guys. That's a total of 34 trainer cards there. And then finalize with the cherry on top of 11 energies, 9 of them being psychic energies, with 2 being double colorless energies. As always, thank you, fella. You number one, and you have made an awesome TCG community. Have fun at PuckleCon. This, of course, he sent it before PuckleCon. Doc Mustafels, Doc, thank you so much for sending these emails. It's pretty awesome. And of course, yes, you won deck of the episode with your deck here, with Malamar featuring Necrozma GX and Sotowark. Any Sigma, anything you want to add there?
You could probably get rid of the professor's letters now for Acrobikes. Acrobikes, yes, are great. Run Acrobikes.
Yep. What about you, Basket?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Other than that, I really like the deck he's made. It's easy to see what's going on, and I like the title.
Yes, the nauseating Necromikyu.
Yes.
And it just rolls off the tongue. Even for me, that I mispronounce everything on this show, or just basically whenever I open my mouth, and that would just roll out of my tongue. So that's an awesome name.
Yeah, definitely. And I like the synergy. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to play.
It is. Okay, so there we go. Deck of the episode, Doug Mustafos, thank you much for writing. And the pool, the bet, you guys know, send in your premonitions, what you think it's going to win Worlds, and then we'll see who wins. And if there's a tie, we'll figure something out.
Pick Waylord.
Okay, we're going to go for the one that made the most precise. If you add it to a more cards that are on that deck, that'll help it. Because if you just say Buzzwold,
and
Buzzwolds, it's like, ugh, I can't choose a winner there.
No, maybe it's a Buzzwold Garbodor, maybe it's a Buzzwold Lycanroc. Yeah,
be as much specific as you can. Like, really try to guess. Try not to be as generic as you can.
How about the first one that sends it in correctly?
There we go. That also works.
Yeah. Because then that way, if everybody sends, like, you know, Buzzwole or Zoroark, then it's the first one. But if someone says Zoroark Control or Zoroark Garbodor, then first one with that.
There we go.
Yeah, the first most correct one.
There we go. So now, let's go ahead and move on. Guys, it's that time. It's everyone's favorite Pokemon 15 questions. You guys know the rule. Lower your browsers. No Pokedexes. No 3DSs. Nothing. Not even Switches at this point that you can use to help you out here. Just your noggin and your memory. The rules are simple. No questions about the Pokedex, either numbers or anything. No questions about external things like is it a this version of the Pokemon or that version? No, it has to be in-game lore only. That's what you have to work with. Now, I got my Pokemon here, and it's time for Pokemon Who's That Pokemon? Who's That? Oh my god, I am all over the place today. It's time for Pokemon 15 Questions. Who's That Pokemon? The turns are Basket first, followed by Sigma, back to Basket. And with that, we start. My boy, Basket, it's your turn. Who's That Pokemon?
All right. Is this Pokemon weak to biting.
Wow, it is, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay, I think we're going to win this. We got this.
Lucky break.
I was just thinking that fighting was a decent decent type to ask if it was weak to, but that was awesome. All right.
Okay, let's see. We got rock, ice, steel. What else do we want to punch? I feel like there's another type that it's...
Rock, ice, steel. It's also... Well...
Dark.
Dark, yes, dark.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's right. I the only way that I normally memorize that is that dark is the evil Pokemon in Japanese, and fighting is the hero Pokemon in Japanese translation. So that's how I always remember that.
And it's also not flying, fairy, or psychic.
Right. I think that's
it. You're gonna need a question, Sigma.
Okay, does this Pokemon share its typing with one of Eevee's evolutions?
No.
Okay, so it's not dark or ice.
Go for basket.
Let's see. Is this a steel type Pokemon?
No. Go for Sigma.
Can this poke? Is this a basic Pokemon?
Yes. Go for basket.
Is it a rock type Pokemon?
Nope. Go for Sigma.
So then there is something not that we missed.
Can this Pokemon evolve?
Yes.
The normal type, then.
Go for basket.
All right. Yeah, so it just, so we know it's a normal type. Okay, and it's the, did we already figure out it was, okay,
we don't
so
know
it's a
if
basic
it's dual type yet either.
Right. Does this Pokemon evolve?
Do we want to find out if it's a dual type? Because that narrows it down a lot, too.
Yeah, yeah. Is this Pokemon a dual type?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Go for Sigma.
So it's just a basic normal type. Does this Pokemon have three evolutions in its evolution line?
No.
Okay, so it only evolves once.
If it evolves at all, right? Or did you already ask?
No, it evolves.
Go for basket.
Okay. So we know that it's normal. It's not a, yeah, it's just normal type. Does not, or it evolves once.
Mm-hmm. And it's a basic.
Is it a baby Pokemon?
It shouldn't be. I wouldn't ask that question because I think all the babies are on stage three.
Well,
because it's like Happiny. Or Igglybuff.
Right, but there's the Snorlax one too.
I guess so.
Munchlax.
No.
Okay, you can ask the question.
Not a basic.
Or not a baby.
I'm sorry, not a baby. That's what I meant to say. Go for Sigma.
Let's see. Is it a legal question to ask if its evolution is in the same? Is its evolution next to it in the Pokédex?
That would be a Pokedex question, yes.
Okay.
Cannot allow it, yeah.
Does this Pokemon evolve based on level?
Yes.
Okay.
Go so for Lickitung. Basket, and this is question number 10. You have 5 questions left.
We got rid of Lickitung.
Okay.
A couple other ones.
So, is this Pokemon... Is this Pokemon one of the is it one of the first that you would meet, or would you meet this on the first route?
Route one rodents.
Yeah, is this a route one rodent? Is what I'm, that's actually what I'm trying to
know what it means.
That would be a yes.
Okay. All right, okay. Route
Sigma.
One rodent.
Route one rodent.
There's a lot of those, though. So
there
which
are
one?
A lot of those. Let's see. How many are four-legged versus how many are two-legged? Is that a question worth asking?
So,
too many of them are four-legged.
I think most of them, like, if they do go two-legged, it's afterwards.
Like, the only one I can think of two-legged is Centret.
Well, Raticate. And Bumblebee. Raticate has always
been. Yeah, but it's a baby. So, well, Alolan Raticate is, but.
Right, yeah.
I know what we could ask.
Okay.
Does the evolution of this Pokemon have two types?
Nope, it has only one.
Okay, so we got rid of Bunnelby and we got rid of Bidoof.
Okay. Okay, really fast, what do we have left? So we have potentially
Patrat, Centret, Zigzagoon, and the other thing in Gen 7, that Yungoos.
Yungoos, yeah. And how many questions do we have left, Jushiro?
Three. You're in question 13 now.
Okay, so we have two more to narrow it down.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Okay, so then let's say... Okay, so one way we could do it is I could ask, does it have the word rat in its name? Because that would take out Rattata and Patrat.
And leave us with three more to knock out.
Right, Centret, Zigzagoon, and Yungoos.
Good question, but I think that would go against the rules.
How would it go against the rules?
Because...
Give me a rule,
like,
bro.
I feel like
you might be able to set a rule precedent after this, but I don't think you already have one that's set, bro. I don't think you can do this.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
I mean, if you feel strongly about it, you can set it after.
No, I don't feel strongly at that point.
I mean, you could ask about Buckteeth too, because there's only two of them left with Buckteeth.
What's that? That's
that's still Patrat.
Yeah, Patrat and Rattata, yeah. Same question. Well, does Yungoos have buck teeth, kind of, doesn't he?
No, he has a weird smile.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Okay. Let me see here. So, okay.
They also have whiskers, which is another thing that the other ones don't have.
Oh, no, I found out how we could narrow it down even better, okay? In this, so before I ask it, I want to lay it on you, Sigma, just to double check. So, okay, so Rattata, Patrat, Zigzagoon, and Yungoos, you can all see, or sorry, not Zigzagoon. It's Yungoos, Patrat, and Rattata. You can all see their teeth in their official Pokedex entries. So
I'd rather get like 3 and 2 divided by here.
Right, so this way, only if I ask that...
Because getting rid of one doesn't help. Getting rid of two would help.
Well, no, but Centret and Zigzagoon do not show their teeth in their things. So I was just thinking we could potentially narrow. Well, I guess we narrow it down.
Yeah, it narrows down either way.
Either way, based. Yeah, okay. So, all right. Jushiro, does this Pokemon have the word rat in its name?
No.
Okay, so then it's either Centret, Zigzagoon, or Yungoos. We could ask Sigma the teeth question, but that would only get rid of Yungoos.
Let's see.
But it would narrow it down. I mean, I don't know.
We could ask about a stripe. Because, well, that doesn't help too much.
Well, Yungoos technically doesn't have any stripes.
We could ask if the evolution stands on four legs or two legs.
Oh, we totally could. We totally could.
But, like, in one way, it's a 50-50 guess for us. In the other way, it works. So it's...
Well, So we'll either know for sure or it'll be a 50-50 guess. So...
Yeah. And I think that's as good as we can get, so...
Yeah, let's go for it.
Does this Pokemon's evolution stand on two legs?
No.
Okay, so it is not... Yungoos.
Correct. Okay, so then we're picking between Centret and Zigzagoon, and this is our last question, which means that we have to answer this question, or we get one last question and then answer.
That's our last one, right?
Yep, that'll be your last question.
Okay. Cool. How do you want to do this?
I don't know. Might as well just guess.
Jushiro? Did you say who this question came from?
Oh, no, I chose it.
Oh, you chose it. Okay, yeah. Okay. I'm going to say Centret. That's what I want to do. Just gut, like guttural feeling. I feel like I don't think Jashiro is a huge fan of Gen 3, so I feel like he would probably pick Centret over Zigzagoon.
See, I was thinking this because what? There's like a 50-50.
I would have done it if it was anybody else. Like, because you always say in the beginning who did it, right? Who gave
we haven't done suggestions in a while though.
Okay, well,
I was gonna say Zigzagoon because there's like a 50-50 chance that he thinks that Furret stands on two legs instead of four. Where Linoone is 100% on four legs.
Okay, let's do that. That makes the most
sense to me. It's into like a 75-25 split.
I'm laughing at. No, I'm not gonna say anything. Just go.
So it's up to you. You're the one that gets to name it.
You can't say that and then say it's up to me. okay, if it's up to me, I'm saying it's Centret.
Okay.
Okay, so what's the question?
Is it Centret?
No.
Oh, man.
It was Zigzagoon. That close!
Would you have said that Furret was standing on two legs instead of four?
it's just because when you said that, I'm like, oh my god, Sigma is reaching out to my soul right now. Because I had to double check that when you There's guys asked me the question. Both sides.
You could have defended it too.
But anyway, great try, guys. I really put it really hard on you guys because it's a normal rodent. It was really hard to begin with. So you guys did a great job there. With that being said, it means it's the end of the episode. And this is where I tell you, please go ahead and reach us on all our social medias. We got our Twitter at Puckle Podcast. We got a Facebook group at /PucklePodcast or /PuckleTCG. We obviously got an amazing Discord where we have discussions of all things Pokemon, no matter if it's trading card or video game. Please go there, or even general anime stuff. It doesn't matter if it's Pokemon. We'll be talking about it in the Discord. And if you can, if you have the extra income, please go to our Patreon. All this information that I'm just rickrolling right now is down in our description area. Go to our Patreon and whatever you can send to us, it goes straight back to the community. That's where we buy all the prices. That's how we buy all the equipment. Everything goes back to Puckle. And with that, we've reached the end of the episode. As always, Basket, thank you so much for being here tonight.
No problem. Loved every minute.
And Sigma, you're the brain case, man. Thank you so much.
It was a fun time talking about how Zoroark is good.
How Zoroark is going to. And with that, you guys already hear this car in the background. Have a great night. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.